of the story. Howard Hill was acclaimed only once in his life. When he was a small boy, he sang at Buckingham Palace in the presence of Queen Victoria. But shortly thereafter, his voice changed. Howard would never be famous again. Approaching young manhood, he acquired a degree of artistic skill. He began to support himself as a portrait painter. Howard promised himself that as soon as he could scrape enough money together, he would leave England, would travel to the United States and seek his fortune. When the Civil War was over, Howard did indeed travel to the United States, made his home in New York, in Yonkers, precisely. What he wanted to do was to open a studio, specialize in portrait and landscape painting. Well, that dream aborted. In time, he was a father of 12, and the responsibility of feeding a large family prevented him from saving enough money to open his own studio. So Howard stayed at the bottom of the artistic totem pole. He learned that animal portraits were popular, so walking door to door, he asked each resident if there happened to be a favorite household pet that he could paint. Occasionally, somebody requested a portrait of his or her dog. Wealthy farmers were inclined to have their prize-winning cows or pigs immortalized on canvas, and Howard painted these animals in great detail. That became his trademark. For a dog or a cat, each hair was meticulously represented. Tiny highlights in the eyes were added scrupulously. Every aspect of Howard's work was immaculately, painstakingly clear, precise. Every aspect, that is. Except for his financial status. Supplementing his irregular income from animal portraits, Howard turned to potboilers. That's a colloquialism for hypersentimental pseudo-poetic art. For example, an Indian maiden in a canoe gliding over a moonlit lake, that sort of thing. What Howard's potboilers lost in realism, they made up for in one important respect. They did sell, and they were also fantastically detailed, as was everything that Howard drew or painted. During the slow seasons, when neither animal portraits nor potboilers were particularly in demand, Howard became a house painter. He painted the exteriors of people's houses. Leaving home those mornings, he attempted to salvage his pride by telling his wife that he was going to paint a portrait. But of course, Howard's wife knew better. In time, the harsh reality of his failure as a true artist became too much to bear, and eventually he sought refuge in the bottle. And portrait artist Howard Hill, disillusioned and disappointed by his lack of recognition, became an alcoholic, and one day he died, believing that his life had amounted to nothing. But Howard Hill was not quite the failure he had considered himself to be. Howard's style of painting, especially his painstaking attention to detail, would inspire someone else to artistry, would live on in the style of yet another, a little boy, so moved by what the rest of the world took for granted, Howard's grandson. You see, Howard Hill, the English portrait and landscape painter, who took his big dreams to the new world, only to watch those dreams fade and die, never lived to see the spark of his work catch fire in his daughter's son, the wide-eyed boy who had watched entranced at his grandfather's knee, who so admired his grandfather's meticulous lifelike artistic detail that he, the grandson, spent a prolific lifetime imitating it. That grandson was Norman Rockwell. And now you know the rest of the story.